Und jetzt Vollgas. Über den Gaumen. Das schmeckt so gut. Und noch ein bisschen mehr. Und?
Moment mal. Hier steht 100% ohne künstliche Zusätze. Nur mit natürlichen Zutaten.
Frosta Butter Chicken mit jeder Menge Bäm. Ohne Bäh. Das ist das Frosta Reinheitsgebot. 100% ohne Zusätze. Schon seit 2003.
To the Shutdown Foolcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. If they tell you they found another one, then that person is a liar. Probably one of them lying robots that says they can't lie and then they malfunction. Back up. It's about to explode. Hi, I'm Spencer Hull. I am joined as always by Ryan Nanny, Jason Kirk, Holly Hi. Anderson, and on the ones and twos, Michael Server. We are barreling through all of the bowl seasons, venues, matchups, and splendor. This is part three of 40 for 40. We have so much to get through, so we're gonna get right at it. But before I say anything else, I would like to remind everyone that this episode is brought to you by Coors Light, Mountain Cold Refreshment, made to chill.
Oh, and then right. So, okay, never mind. I thought this was we're going to get right to it, and then a detour. But you did the business thing. That was very professional. We've
Thank
really
you.
Got this down.
That was.
I'll never do it again.
We know.
I think is so. This is the fewest episodes we've ever covered. Quote fingers covered bowl season in right, like because we used to do it in like 42, and now we have it down to three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jason. It turns out when you publish 42 different tiny episodes of a podcast, it
Which
takes a look
I still
at,
think is the way we should do it.
It takes record. A look at every single algorithm measuring the intake, production, and consumption of podcasts and throws them out of a helicopter several thousand feet over the ground.
Which is why I think we should keep doing it that way.
I agree. Which is funny.
Right. It's actually funny to, if in case any listeners have wondered why a few years ago we started doing these as an episode per week rather
Boring.
Than dozens and dozens, it's because now we make money off it. Unlike the first, like,
I agree with Holly.
Show.
I think it's much better to be like this animal. Normally, you feed it twice a day, except for this 2-week stretch out of the year where it has to eat 16 times every day.
I have
or
a threat.
It will die.
I have a clamber diet. By which I mean an idea.
Okay.
And you guys tell me what you think. You guys at home, tell me what you think. Like, this is the 41st for 40 is something that EDSBS originated, not the full cast. We kind of, and by we, I mean me, kind of foisted it on the full cast as a thing that might be fun, and now it's become an annual chore. There is a universe in which we could do a regular talk about the schedule, talk about the bowl games episode once a week during bowl season, and return all 42 individual bowl game yarns to like the Channel 6 feed or something. That's something we could do if we got that sick of it. Welcome to our production meeting.
I think we should do the most full cast thing, which is talk about it, think
never
about
do it
the idea, and then immediately forget it and just accidentally stumble into something next.
Love it. Love it.
Never going to do it.
Boop, 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 boop. Mm-hmm.
I also think we should emphasize for the listener how much grueling work it is to go from 15 weeks of talking about the Saturday schedule and then to talk about the upcoming schedule. We should
absolute trash.
We should declare that we are going through.
Me.
We are the fall hustle. It's time for a Coors Light because we went from talking about the schedule to talking about the schedule, and it's breaking my ass.
Let me tell you who bowl season's really rough on. That's podcasters, brother.
That's right.
Oh, you wouldn't believe it.
We don't get a day off. We also don't get a day on.
We don't even know what days are. I can't see the sun.
The first bowl game that we are going to discuss, this is still happening. It's one of the, I think there's a category of bowl games that just needs to be still happening. The Fenway Bowl. That's right. And I think we could put you instantly in the still happening category of bowl when your website is on MLB.com's domain.
Also, you're at 11 a.m. You have two baseball term strikes against you in that regard.
Yeah, this is a very Boston thing where they're like, perfectly good time for a sporting event.
Oh, the weather's so fucking gray.
Oh, the weather outside is weather.
The weather outside is literally frightful at all.
You'll be done in time to go rowing. I mean,
this is a place that's offering hot wasabi, so...
Now, So, like, there's a food tie-in with the...
I don't think so.
Oh, no, it's not really... It's called wasabi, yeah. But it has nothing to do with wasabi.
Mm-hmm. That's
it's like
right.
Cloud management or something.
But they call it as, like, hot cloud storage, so...
Hot cloud.
Yeah. Hot cloud, summer in the city.
I got your hot cloud.
I was... the fucking Yankees. Yankees are a hot cloud.
Hey, Sully, that's good. He fought it. That's a pretty good joke.
we gotta call fucking Matt Damon about that one. There's your movie. Damon.
You think that's a fight? Come to Southie. We'll show you fights.
See, here I was hoping that
the...
That
how you pronounce that?
I think it's Southie.
Yeah, it's Southie.
Soothe. Don't write to us. We're not going to remember.
Yeah, we don't care.
If you're from North Carolina and you tell us this North Carolina town is pronounced a different way, we will say, sorry, we'll try better. Yeah. If you're from fucking Massachusetts and you try to explain a goddamn thing to us, we will say it wronger. Understand that.
I appreciate that. You know, so bowl games usually do one thing, which is sort of like, hey, this is like a fun reward for two teams that won a certain number of games, blah, 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 blah. Sometimes... you get to have them serve a different purpose. This game last year was more or less the Scott Satterfield handover ceremony. Mm-hmm. And this year it gets to be like, okay, SMU, you really want to be in the ACC? One of the things that involves is traveling to Boston to play in the cold. And you're going to get a little preview of it this year.
Congratulations.
Who are you going to get to play? The local team, Boston College. One
thing that, but boy, do that... you guys have a couple of very important cultural mores in common.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Boston College, I really respect this team because I just didn't know what to do with that, honestly.
I'm going to brand this game Catholics versus White Collar Convicts. I think that's fair.
Yeah. Aww. Yeah, the Catholics versus Convicts things, that always bothered me because it's like, you know how many convicts are Catholic?
Yeah.
A lot more than when that game was first played.
Yeah, fortunately, we found a lot
of them. They ran up the score.
But this is Boston College is one of my favorite teams because they're the most please stop bothering me.
Wait. Say that again.
Sorry, Boston College 2023. One of my favorite teams, if you look at their total profile, I'll expand upon that, Ryan.
Oh my God.
Right? Because they are the team that like is always around one score of the other team. So they are, to me, the most 12 o'clock ACC team where you go, maybe something interesting is going to happen. Here it goes. Any minute now. Turn my headphones up. About to drop some fire. Here we go. And nothing ever happens.
I think the most 12 o'clock ACC team gets to kick off at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You earned an extra hour so you could go rowing.
I got that daylight cravings for Boston College football.
So you could go antiquing. Yeah, that's what this is for. They're not going to win this game, but they will come within like, you know, they'll come
it's
within
bowl
like
season,
4 points.
Anything can happen.
Anything. Yeah, Boston College will stay within a one score. That's what they'll do.
You think?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, just one score. That's kind of right. How they're built. Just to be super annoying.
Yep.
Most of their wins, one score games, stayed within one score of Florida State. Everyone thought, oh man, I don't know, maybe Florida State's wobbly. And they realized that, like, nope, Florida, like, this Boston College team is just like a sand spur or some sort of sticky shit you get on your shoe. They just hang around, man.
What a reward for winning the American Athletic Conference this is. SMU, two loss SMU, whose only two losses are to Oklahoma and TCU on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Like otherwise pretty definitively, you know, there's a couple of close games here and there, but pretty definitively rolled through the AAC schedule, including beating Tulane in the championship game. It's just like, nope.
Well,
Boston College, that's who you get.
I mean, we couldn't have made Liberty play here. They won more games than SMU, and according to the playoff committee, the more games you win, the better spot you get.
Yeah, you're right.
Don't check the rest of the rankings about that.
That's the only fair thing.
I can't believe I didn't have this ready for that.
The other things about this game that you need to know, if you are consulting the website for things to do in Boston, they suggest, among other performing arts opportunities, that you stay an extra day for a one-man retelling of the story of Die Hard. That's right.
Who is the one man?
The one man is...
It's Casey Affleck.
What's their name? Richard Marsh, who is a former London Poetry Slam champion. Yeah.
Every word in that got worse.
Yes.
As it went along.
And you will respect him for his title. You got, if you want it, you have to come and take the belt off it. You have to show up at a London Poetry Slam and be like, Richard Marsh!
I don't want to derail us here because that would
so poetry slams are like the 24/7 title.
Yes. Yeah, you got to defend it anytime.
Sorry, go ahead.
I would never do this. It's kind of fucked up that John McClane has two kids but only brought one teddy bear home for Christmas to see them.
I get that though, because maybe the other one's past teddy bear age.
Oh, I thought the teddy bear was for the wife.
Well, did the kids get nothing? Also, the wife doesn't want that big old teddy bear.
What if teddy bear's for himself?
If John McClane knew what Holly wanted, then he wouldn't be living in New York.
What does he know?
What if it's his teddy bear?
Yeah.
his comfort animal?
Yeah, he's not having a good time flying, don't forget.
I'm the one traumatized by the building that exploded.
That's
so.
True.
Yippee-ki-yay, this cowboy needs comfort.
I would love to sit in on the Holly and John McClane marriage counseling sessions, because there's just to divorce somebody who'd be like, yeah, they saved me from being killed by a terrorist, but I still just fucking can't be married to him. It's like, okay, all right. It's
that bought him a little time, but
it's true. Yeah.
I don't know. That would sort of firm things up, but be like, everything you did was just patently insane. I got to get you out of the house.
Yeah.
You didn't have shoes, dude. You didn't have shoes, and you were like running around some strange skyscraper's ventilation system, and you killed a lot of people. Now, I don't want to say you didn't do it for a reason, but within you is murder, John.
That can't be what you get mad at John McClane for. You can't divorce John McClane because he killed the terrorists.
He did it really hard, Ryan. And you know what?
He did it really hard.
He didn't do it with anesthesia?
He did it super hard.
Sleep, Hans. Sleep.
That's a much gentler movie. That would disturb me way less if I...
It's called Die Soft. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, you know what? I want you to think about this. Within the course of the movie Die Hard, what are the chances he didn't kill somebody he wasn't supposed to? It's pretty low.
There was probably friendly fire
in there, right?
Let's just go back to imagining the heavy Bostonian accent retelling of Die Hard.
Die Hard. No, this is British. This is amazing.
Doy.
Yeah.
Oy.
It's called A Joyfully Funny Show that got rave reviews at Edinburgh Fringe. It pays affectionate tribute to the iconic 80s festive fan favorite, essential viewing for Hans Gruber superfans. Unlike the movie Die Hard, where Hans Gruber is fucking killed.
So we're getting the other perspective then, maybe.
Yeah. Gotta hear both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. It's a retelling. Huntington Theater, December 27th. December 27th.
So if you're listening, folks, stop by.
And the name of the show
today.
The name of the show is Yippee-ki-yay.
Okay.
Good. Do you think the reason that the Fenway Bowl is immediate before the Pinstripe Bowl is like entirely ESPN's doing, like the schedule when they're setting it up, that each year this is one of the first things they look for? How do we get
their schedule robot? Yes, their schedule robot is like must match pair.
How do we get
national television?
How do we get Red Sox fans who mistakenly think their team is on to stick around in hopes that the Yankees are coming on because they know the stadiums that are being broadcasted from for some reason?
Good question.
Speaking of con jobs, the Pinstripe Bowl.
Yeah.
The Pinstripe Bowl.
I say the Miami Hurricanes.
Well, let's be honest. One essential feature of the Pinstripe Bowl visit for players is the visit to the New York Stock Exchange, availability pending on days when they can get there. But last year they made it. And if there are two schools where I know there are at least one or two active members of either roster or coaching staff involved in financial fraud, Miami and Rutgers, very high up on the suspects list.
I always saw Rutgers as more of a medical device fraud, but I understand where you're going with it. So that's cool.
Yeah. By the way, if you have watched season one of Reacher, for some reason,
we a Reacher pod? Are we all in on Reacher collectively? Can we just set that out? I'm in on Reacher.
I haven't seen it, but I'll go with the group.
Jason, you should definitely watch Reacher.
You should definitely watch Reacher.
Jason, yeah.
You should definitely watch Reacher if you haven't watched Reacher.
It's a Christ parable, really. So if Jesus went around punching people with cinder blocks.
One thing I really like Reacher is that they were like, we don't have a lot of money to shoot in places where there are people. So they're like, most of our scenes need to take place in like abandoned parking lots or crime mm-hmm. scenes, because then we can explain why there are no people there.
Yeah.
Like, they're not like Reacher never goes to the mall or anything like there's none of that.
Reacher goes to like New York and it's jarring because you're like, one, that man is huge. What's mm-hmm. he doing walking around people? It looks like the Hulk. Second of all, he has to do Reacher things in a New York context, which strangely works because other people are like, hey, yo, that's crazy. I'm just going to let that happen. You punch that guy over there.
Is it unfair if I call Reacher dumb justified?
No, that's totally fair.
Okay.
It's 100% fair. Everything in Reacher is this. What's that guy's name? His name's Jack Pistolman. What does he do? He's the best pistol marksman in the world. Like, that's everything. That's the level of intellect we're going, right? Like, he's head of an investigative unit, and the name of it is the Special Investigators. That's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
To get this somewhat back on track, I think the most endearing thing about Reacher is that he's this giant, highly trained man who other average folks see and are like, oh, I could fucking take him. I could beat him. And if that doesn't scream Miami Hurricanes, I don't know what does.
Yeah, there's a lot of bravado in the Miami program that is usually humbled by a larger man with a cinder block in his hand. Or without. Because remember, he doesn't need weapons. His hands are the size of turkeys. By the way, Jason, that's canon in the books. His hands are the size of turkeys.
Okay, good.
Yeah, the books I've heard are dumber than the show. Which is,
Do you think that means turkey like defeathered and dressed and ready to cook, or like live turkey?
I would hope live turkeys. Okay. With all the fluff and feather, because that means that like he stopped at TSA and they're like, yo, bro, what's up with these?
Sure.
Yeah, you can't just walk around with these on the end of your arms. They look really, it's fucked up.
Do you remember what happened the last time Miami played in the Pinstripe Bowl?
I do not.
They got destroyed by Wisconsin 35-3.
Oh, yeah. This is the one where every tight end was open. That's it. Every tight end. Yeah, I recall this.
They didn't even need to be that open because Wisconsin only attempted 11 passes in this game. Jonathan Taylor ran for 205 yards on 27 carries. And yeah, Miami wasn't good.
Sorry if you don't appreciate art.
That was 5 years ago. Surely things are much better now.
Yep. Totally.
This is the...
Not from Wisconsin, they're not, but...
This is the second year of this game being sponsored by Bad Boy Mowers, the dirtbag lawn mowing company. Just spreading the news. I also want to note that on the call is the god Rod Gilmore, who will get to weigh in on Miami's endgame proclivities.
Oh, goodness.
And I'm just going to say he's right. Whatever he says was, no, that was dumb. That was too conservative. No, that was bad. He's right. Then again, if he sees Miami kneeling the ball with like 3 minutes to go, he might love it. Now, this is fucking football.
They're trying to protect the lead. A lead of what? Negative 2 points. They're actually behind. But I love this methodical, dedicated approach to ball control.
This way, they will not fall behind by five.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, can't lose by more if you don't give them the ball back. The other thing that you should know about this is, they are sponsored by Bad Boy Mowers. One day, I promise you, I will either commission or write a story of the Bad Boy Mowers family feud, because there is a long and...
I think you told the story.
Yeah, a long and insane story about the family that founded and really sort of created the Bad Boy Mowers brand. But what you should also know is that... Ryan, let's let you guess.
Okay.
I'm talking the Renegade Diesel Zero Turn. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those words mean anything to your woke ears.
I mean, I have used all of these words in some context.
Used all four together in the most powerful assemblage of those words possible?
I probably couldn't even do it right now. I think this woke tongue would just fall out.
Could you ever imagine sitting at the helm of a 1,862-pound monster of a lawnmower. Nearly
with these soft hands? Of course not.
That's right. They're not the size of turkeys. They're not ready to handle the badness of a mower so bad it actually has a little bit of a metal cutout on the back that says, "Bad boy." You're not ready to cut a 61-inch swath through the wilderness at up to 6 inches of height, or 2 inches for those of you who like a closer shape. That's right. You're not ready to do this all with a ground speed of 13 miles an hour, 24 horsepower.
Those numbers are so big.
That's almost as fast as a human can run.
It's a little disconcerting.
Which I'm sure didn't enter into anybody's consideration.
Yeah.
Yeah, 13 miles an hour on the absolutely monstrous Renegade diesel zero turn. I didn't just set you up, though, to humiliate your soft hands and inability to really respect and appreciate a 1,862-pound mower. No, Ryan, what I
love
done,
to get trapped under that.
Yeah, what I've done is to ask you about a thing I know that your conniving law school brain already knows about, okay, which is money. Okay, that's yeah, right.
Sure.
How to steal money from the working man. That's what you understand, okay? So I want to say,
this is a very confusing promo.
Deeply. For you and me. So
Yes. The enemy of the working class, please go ahead.
How much would you think that you would have to pay for this absolute sledgehammer of a lawnmaster? How much do you think the entire Bad Boy Mowers Renegade Diesel Zero Turn costs?
Give me $9,000.
Oh, you're trying to cheat the Bad Boy Mowers people. See, there he goes with his lawyering. He's already trying to undermine the working class. All these people want to do is make a reasonable nuclear-powered mower capable of decapitating actual people lying on the ground with ease.
A reasonable 9-foot-wide mower that travels 37 miles an hour.
Yeah, it's 61 inches. 61 inches. Yeah, it's only 5 feet and 1 inch. The 1 inch, by the way, that one's for God.
That's huge. It's huge.
It's pretty. Yeah, it's a massive.
It's a gymnast tall.
It is. It is. That's right. So again, this is Ryan trying to cheat the good people. No, yeah, I'm going to need you. I'm going to give you one more guess, and you're going to need to pay real money for the
all
things
right
that you appreciate instead of trying
five
to.
13.5.
Yeah,
not even close, buddy.
What?
Yeah, you're not.
No, it's. Did we price out cars? Like, what's the closest car here?
Shows what Ryan knows about how much things cost the working man.
Out of touch, liberal Ryan Nanny.
All right, let me see if I can find a car, and you guys can reverse engineer it.
It's okay. A banana, Ryan.
Let me see if I can.
It's the size of 18 bananas and laid in a row.
You could obtain this for less than it would cost for a brand new Nissan Rogue, but not much.
I don't like it.
Let me go $27,000.
You know
oh,
what?
Oh, Jason, that's way too much.
Jason,
hell,
Jason is so salt of the earth.
I just want to donate money. I just want to donate money to the Bad Boy company.
Yeah, that's, you know what? And that's good.
Jason,
I think
is closer
this
than anyone has been so far.
Jason is so close. The actual price of the Renegade Diesel Zero Turn Bad Boy mower with the 61-inch swath and a ground speed of 13 miles per hour is $23,607. That is how much it costs for the hardworking people of Bad Boy Mower to painstakingly assemble each one by hand and deliver it to the hardworking landscapers and homeowners and job creators of this nation, Ryan.
You know how much orange paint costs? That's $5,000 right there.
I'm not sorry. I'm paying under market price, and I'm writing it all off as a tax dodge anyway.
Can't believe you cheat Bad Boy Mowers.
I'm paying it with crypto and shit anyway.
I'm paying with that goddamn.
My lawyer coin is what I'm using.
That's right. By the way, if you just look up cars that cost $23,000.
That's what I did.
Yeah. You could get a 2019 Mercedes-Benz Class A 220 for $23,000 with only 52,000 miles on it.
But that's not zero turn.
No. That's many turns. That's like 9 turns. I don't even know. It's like, yeah, 900 turns. Those Germans over-engineer. Let's see them make a bad boy. What is German for bad
well,
boy?
Well, that already happened, as it turned out.
According to Gus Johnson.
They make bad guys is what they make.
Bad guy mowers. Actually, I think that's just...
Bad dude mowers.
I think that's just Volkswagen, actually.
The thing I don't like about these cars, they go too goddamn fast. 13 miles an hour is how fast you need to go.
That's school zone safe.
Yes. Bad, good boy mowers, it turns out.
I make mowers in the image of Christ. That's why I make good boy mowers.
I doubt Jesus ever moved much faster than 13.
Yeah, what was Jesus's 40?
Stop speaking.
He wasn't a big guy.
Ask Jesus, right?
He wasn't a big guy, so he could probably move pretty quickly.
Yeah, I was gonna say he was in sandals though, so marking down like
barefoot. Yeah. Let's go. Let's cook.
Okay. Okay.
Sorry, are you calling Jesus sneakily athletic?
Yeah. Slot receiver.
Yes, I think that's right.
That is all I have to say.
He had problems with drops, though. That's all I'll
Rutgers is here.
Let's move on. Yeah,
Rutgers is here. And
I apologize for doubting Greg Schiano. We'll never do it again.
Yes, and
we'll do it again next year.
Keep in mind, this is the most stars in the best recruits, best recruiting class that Miami will take till the Pinstripe Bowl, until next year's Pinstripe Bowl. At least we're in a bowl. That's right. That's
Who cares?
Right,
Nobody cares.
Who cares? Nobody cares. Yeah. It takes the customer service. I don't give a shit.
I get to go to New York the Thursday after Christmas. Great. You're a Midwestern tourist. Nobody cares.
Yeah, that's awesome. Why don't you go buy some shit on clearance at Macy's?
You're in a choir competition, Miami. Nobody gives shit.
Peg, we got a great fucking deal on tickets. That's you. You're Tom and Peg.
Yeah, you're Miamiing backwards. You're supposed to brag about leaving New York, not going to. That's it. Or maybe because you had to leave New York. Either way, welcome to Miami.
Pop-Tarts Bowl!
Here we go.
That's right.
Finally, the real competitions have arrived.
The bowl with the trophy. What have Pop-Tarts?
It's got golden Pop-Tarts on it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is, by the way, the Pop-Tarts Bowl trophy, which does feature two slots for Pop-Tarts. I don't know whether there's a heating element in there. I really think there should have been. Would there be a risk of fire? Absolutely. Is it a bowl trophy if there isn't a risk of fire? I don't think so.
What if it would just melt? Wouldn't that be cool? One-time trophy? Like... Then you have a pile of metal.
T-1000 trophy.
Yeah, what could be more unique than a partially melted trophy?
Vanquished T-1000 trophy.
Yeah, gives you the thumbs up as it melts. It'd be awesome.
Get on it, Pop-Tarts.
I'm conflating my Terminators, but that's fine.
That's fine. It's the same movie. It's all right.
Yeah. This is also, by the way, that features two frosted Pop-Tarts, which is the proper move if we're talking about what Pop-Tarts would go in the Pop-Tart trophy. I'm not going all the way to Orlando, Florida, and tussling with the likes of TRT, roided up Dave Doran, or whatever he's on to make him
complimentary
in touch with the complimentary.
Allegedly.
Complimentary.
Whatever
he
kind
looks
of
badass.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever kind of man mountain beef juice
God,
Dave
I
Doran is on.
Yes.
Yeah, whatever.
Dave, you can reach Spencer at 4.
Dave Doran, the reacher of college football.
He is. He's a big dude. He probably would. Hey, Dave, don't you want to just wander the country with an ATM card and an expired passport solving crimes? He'd be like, can't wait. It'd be great. And when I find UNC, I'm going to beat the shit out of him.
Probably will.
Probably. It's happened several times already.
Usually does.
But he has to play like a bit of his mirror image in Kansas State here.
Yes. Yes.
A little bit, yeah. This is it's weird because Kansas State quarterback is Will Howard is on the move through the portal. He has portaled and allegedly to Ohio State. So we're going to get. There needs to be a word for this status of team, not rebuilding, right? But like in roster flux, like kind of in between things in bowl season. It's a relatively new condition.
What Florida State will be when they play Georgia?
Yeah, right. Like what? Like half of all teams are, where you know, got some coming, got some going. Not really sure where we're at.
This is NBA Summer League, is what it is. It's like the jersey says, you know, Oklahoma City Thunder or whatever. It's not the guys you thought. You know, it's not the guys you're going to see starting once the season begins.
Right. Summer
so
League.
That's fine. Yeah.
Once again, obviously, we should have bowl season before the season. Everyone agrees on this.
Yep.
Exhibition, yeah, 100%. Just to emphasize how exhibition these truly are.
I like that in Jason's plan, we not only have to make Florida State fans mad that they missed the playoff, but then make them wait until next season to play their bowl game that's not the playoff as well.
Well, yeah, we can sell it on, well, look at this schedule boost you'll get next year. Mm-hmm. They can't keep you out this time if you beat an SEC team. Wait, you beat two of them. Sorry, never mind. Next year.
Next year, you're going to Ireland.
That's the other thing. All of you Big Ten people are like, come play in our stadium. Come play up north. We will in July. That's when we'll do it. We'll come and see you in late July in Madison. It'll be beautiful.
I
absolutely love that.
I think, like, look, I'm not going to listen to all the, you won't play us on the road. Like, you play the Big Ten championship game in a domed stadium in Indianapolis. Like, that's the last bit of your season, and you play it inside. You don't get to whine about how we won't play you in the frosty elements.
And I like the defense for this.
The defense, it's chilling time.
The defense for this, Ryan, is that they're like, it's convenient. It's convenient. You will respect our convenience.
Soldier Field is convenient.
Yeah.
What's
the
fucking Browns Stadium is in the middle.
That's it. We have ample parking. You will respect our culture of ample parking.
Like, what I love what they do when anyone points out that, like, okay, so A, not only do y'all not play in the South in Florida in August,
yep,
but also you play the title game in Indianapolis indoors. They say, that's because of the suits.
Anyway, there's no Big Ten or SEC team in the Pop-Tarts Bowl, the bowl that we're talking about right now.
They're in two entirely different conferences.
Nope.
We'll quest for the
Pop-Tarts. Why are you scared of playing in the Big Ten, NC State? Dave Doran, come on.
Kansas
I hear
State,
your gums
and,
flapping.
And look, I will, for all my bluster.
Right here, Dave. We'll hold
Kansas,
right here.
Kansas State did play in the prettiest weather bowl game when they played an absolute snow pile against Iowa State. That was deeply enjoyable.
Yeah, that's when if you had played that game on NCAA 14 and it randomly selected snow, you'd be like, well done, randomizer. Well done, programmers.
You say,
that's some good code.
I agree. I agree with it.
I agree. Yeah, true.
What do we have favorite Pop-Tarts by chance?
Oh, this is going to tear us apart.
I didn't grow up eating Pop-Tarts, so I will abstain.
Okay, Catholic.
See, again, yes. Again, Ryan, out of touch with the common man.
Let me guess, you had croissants every morning.
A pan of chocolate for me, mother.
I'm going to go very, very basic here. Frosted strawberry. Very normal, but there's a reason it's the most popular.
Oh, yeah. All of Ryan's highfalutin Tampa tastes.
The Paris of the South.
The Paris of the South, that's right.
The city of Marlboro Lights.
Attending the Lycée de Gainesville for university. I see.
The Hooters.
In Tampa, we call it the sore bone.
I was going to call it the whore bone.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I mean, they both have Eiffel Towers.
With a bang. I will tell you my personal favorite Pop-Tart is...
Three quarters of this shutdown full cast stands with sex workers.
The brown... Except for the out-of-touch elite, Ryan Nanny. I am a big fan of frosted blueberry. Frosted blueberry is my favorite.
That's
followed
awesome
followed
choice.
Right behind by the occasional. I think it's a change up. It's not a mainstay. The brown sugar cinnamon.
Mm-hmm.
Outstanding. Incredible.
Mm-hmm. Brown sugar cinnamon strong.
Yeah. By the way, they did make a pizza in a Pop-Tart form called Presto Pizza. They were introduced by Kellogg's in 1971 and retired less than a year later. Just we regret the error.
If you have any of those, hang on to them, folks.
Yeah, I'll eat one.
Oh, these look strong.
Well, yeah, we'll kidnap Ryan from his mansion. I'll make him eat the pizza Pop-Tarts from 1971. We'll stream it. I'll be wearing a balaclava. Yeah, this is also, I wanted to ask a question. This is an Orlando special. That's how you know you're getting into real bowl season, is when you're getting into one of the 37 bowl games that takes place in Orlando or the Orlando Cinematic Universe. I wanted to ask, what is your favorite barely licensed and sketchy Orlando attraction? Because I have a serious champion. I think
Splendid China.
It's not. It is this. It is the barely licensed helicopter ride for $20.
Oh, wow.
Is that the name of? I hope that's the exact name.
How far does it go for $20?
Well, it'll get you to the ground one way or another.
It's a little bit of a roulette situation.
Spin the wheel, literally.
I mean, we're supposed to spend 10 minutes in the air, but brother, you know, it's a day-by-day situation, minute by minute.
Heading down counts as being in the air.
Yeah.
I always say.
I can get her up, and I can get her down. How that happens, we'll never know. But yeah. I've said it before, but I think helicopter rides should cost more than whatever they charge in Orlando.
How about what they charge in Gatlinburg?
You know how much?
I'm pretty sure you can get up for $14.99.
Let's find America's cheapest helicopter ride on the Shutdown Full Cast. Cheapest helicopter ride.
No, this is Google did go ahead and auto suggest the rest of this for me. So there are lots of people who look up this exact thing.
Thank you, heroes.
Alamo Bowl.
First Reddit result. St. Paul is relatively cheap helicopter rides. So,
you know, we've been working hard to rebrand the city, and at last we did it. We're known for cheap, unlicensed helicopter rides. Alamo Bowl, baby.
Alamo Bowl.
I'm a large fan of the Alamo Bowl. If you've ever been there, it's a good vibe. San Antonio is a good time. You play in one of my favorite venues, the Alamo Dome, which is, again, one of my, I love any unaffiliated stadium where it's like, stadium, what is it for? Who knows? Who knows what the Alamo Dome?
This is the one that looks like a toaster oven.
It does. It looks like a very expensive 1980s toaster oven.
And I maintain it will be an ideal flagship location when we shake off these podcasting shackles and launch our Christian laser tag empire, this little light of mine.
This really feels like a unlockable venue. Like,
yeah. Also, you could put I think they should put the Alamo in it, and the players should have to play around it, again, in the style of laser tag.
Yeah, this is where UTSA plays football. But again, the rare instance of a program finding the stadium, not the other way around, that they didn't start playing there until 2011. It's got some nice pastels. It's got, you know, kind of a little Southwest paint color scheme to it. The lighting's real weird. I love it. Like seriously, top 20 venue in terms of what I want in a stadium, which is weird lighting, only semi-inhabited, and otherwise very charming.
It's a big game. Alamo Bowl is sometimes a pretty big game, and it is this time. We got two top 14 teams. Oklahoma's in the top 14. That's normal. They're joined by the Arizona Wildcats.
Good football
naturally.
Team.
Naturally. Yeah, good football team.
Normal.
That was for you, Ryan.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the perfectly normal case of the Arizona Wildcats, who in a move that nobody doubted and nobody questioned and that everybody knew would work, hired Jed Fish as head coach.
Mm-hmm. We said it loud and long. We said he's the best choice.
We said Arizona football is fun again.
You know what, Holly? I'm going to say it. It's Tuesday, December 26th. Arizona football is fun again.
Wow. Right. Thank you for your service, Gronk.
Thing. He can't join USAA. He's technically not a soldier. I think that's unfair. Classify the Patriots as troops.
They would love that. They would love that.
They would love
don't
that.
Don't do that.
Yeah. I dropped this in the group chat earlier, but I did find an explainer a suggested explainer for that rainbow fin blue line flag that Jason saw.
Mm-hmm.
And it was for those working this Christmas.
Yeah.
And each of the stripes. So from top to bottom, we have strippers, gas station employees, Uber drivers, fire personnel, emergency medical services, Walmart employees, and the weed man.
That's right. That's
Gronk
right.
Gronk salutes you all.
Just missing Sonic car hops.
If Gronk had a credit union, would you participate in it?
I'd invest very little at most.
Okay.
I'm all in.
This is okay. Are we all watching The Bear?
No, that is not on my list.
Okay, yeah, Brian, you probably shouldn't specifically, but
because people from your station wouldn't.
No, because it's because I think it's going to stress you out.
Okay,
people from your cast wouldn't quite.
In the infamous Christmas episode in the second season, there are these ne'er-do-well cousins who are hitting up another cousin for money. And of course, they start by asking, "Hey, man, do you have $500?" And he's like, "Yes, I have. I'm a 43-year-old man. I have access to $500." they're trying to start a baseball card business in the year of our Lord present day. I can't remember this verbatim, but he says, "You know what? I'm going to give you the money, but in return, I want you to update me every week and tell me what you do with it." Because I feel like that would be entertaining for me. I would like this kind of deal. Like, I would like to invest money. I would like a low investment, high communication deal with the Grunt Credit Union, where I'll give him a couple hundred bucks, but I want to know what he does with it.
Grunt calls you every day.
And I want to know. I just want to know how that. I have no expectations on rate of return or any return. I just want to see where it goes.
Hey, Holly, I'm going to play bingo.
Listen, you play against a bunch of old people. It's going to be so easy.
They can barely see. I'm going to do great.
Did we just make a movie?
We did.
Bingo Grunk.
We didn't make a movie. This is a business plan.
Wait, that might be 80 for Brady. I didn't see it. So yeah. That's possible. That's what that was.
I was also going to say, speaking of Patriots being troops, that line this year is both blue and thin. So, damn.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, there will be no further quarterback controversies at Arizona. Noah Fifita is the starter because Jaden Delora has entered the transfer portal. Not the only team in this bowl who has a transfer portal quarterback issue because, you know, Dylan Gabriel also out at OU. So, again, we have a summer league situation, at least for Oklahoma here, less so for Arizona, which leads to the potential for Oklahoma really phoning this in and Arizona picking up a bowl win over Oklahoma on the cheap.
Normal. We're going to have like top 10 Arizona at the end of
the year. They'd be 10-3. Like, I think they would probably deserve it at that point.
Normal.
Yeah. Normal game, normal situation, normal stuff.
Hey, you know what I just realized? The next bowl game involves, we should have had John Boyce on because it involves Dabo Swinney and the boys heading down to the swamp. Very close, very close. Not technically, but very close. They're going to the Gator Bowl. It's not the swamp, but it's called Gator.
It's swamp adjacent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's close enough to the swamp.
There'll be some personal swamps.
That's right. It's more a morass of the spirit, if you will. A bog of the soul. Jacksonville. Mm-hmm.
That's what I meant.
Yep. Clemson versus Kentucky.
I need it.
Do you? Is need the worst?
Listen, does this feel like a holy war to anyone else? Like for us?
In what way? I think I understand, but I would like to know
more. In terms of a fighting for a way of life type situation?
Like which sport they like the most?
I don't know. I feel like I'm going to be spiritually unmoored if Kentucky loses to this Clemson team.
So this Clemson team, I think, is probably better than we assumed that they were, or derided them for being.
Well, then why didn't they win games, Ryan? Like, does that matter if they didn't win games?
They won 8 games, and that's not nothing. Like, I understand it wasn't a very good season, but their defense was very good, and I think it's more, I guess where I'm coming down is more like, I don't think Kentucky did a lot this year.
Kentucky never does a lot, even when they're 10-2.
You know what they did? Enough.
They beat Louisville.
That's right. They beat Hell's down, bitch.
We saw
Louisville.
A game that we credited as Kentucky wanting, not wanting it more, but Kentucky hating Louisville more than Louisville hating Kentucky. And our mentions filled up with big Blue Nation fans going, "That's absolutely right.
Hell's down, bitch." That's it. I'm doing it right now.
So Clemson, number 22 in the playoff rankings, number 21 in the computer composite. So they are indeed slightly better than they appear.
These are South Carolina's last two opponents of the regular season. They beat Kentucky 17-14, and then they lost to Clemson 16-7. Man, South Carolina had a real stupid end of the year.
Buddy, they're about, fillers there.
Yeah, they're about to have a real stupid 2024, too. It's awesome. Good job.
Relate. I get it. I relate. It's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah, Shane Beamer, buddy, keep the helmet on. Don't even take it off for a second.
I do think if Clemson loses to Kentucky, it will suck all of the, like, calm down energy out of the room that Clemson's end of the year turnaround produced. Like, I think it will immediately flip back to Dabo has lost the plot and doesn't know what he's doing here. Cause, like, there is something about 8-5 that just feels like so much grosser than 9-4 for whatever reason. 9-4, you can talk yourself into, like, well, we played Florida State really close and Duke, you know, we had turned the ball, like, we were so close to a 10-win team. 8-5, you're like, oh, we're barely bowl eligible, piece of shit. I hate this team. Absolute garbage.
Meanwhile, if Kentucky gets to 8-5, fuck yes.
Yes, 100%. 100%.
Yeah, every year is launchpad McQuack for Kentucky, baby. What did we do? Landed the plane.
Sure.
Brian, you're right that this is going to have some unfair relevance. Like, most bowl results, like 98% of all bowl results should just be written off as, like, random. This is going to have, if they lose, it's going to have some, like, unfairly weighted relevance.
It's going to go back to, like, look how we performed against Tennessee the year before in that bowl game. Like, you can work yourself into messenger board mind froth if you really want
beautiful
to.
Beautiful phrase.
You know?
That's really nice. That's poetic.
Just a light frappe.
Mind frap.
Like,
mind,
I don't know. Server... Heat check me here. Is losing to Kentucky a big, like, capital P problems?
I keep forgetting Server's a Clemson fan because he's so nice and normal. God damn it. Like, I really do forget this when I'm slandering Clemson on the call that you're sitting right there. It's not because I've forgotten you're here, Server. It's because I've forgotten you like this fucking team.
Yeah, it would be... There'd be a lot of people who would lose their shit if Kentucky beat Clemson. I wonder how much of the fan base has kind of embraced the basketball team right now. That's very, very good. Ooh.
Wait, what?
I know, yeah. It's weird. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
I'm asking, Clemson basketball is good?
Yeah, basketball is very good.
Okay, that's upsetting.
Right. To Memphis. They lost a close game to Memphis, but otherwise, they've been really fun to watch. And so I've certainly moved on to basketball season and been very excited about this team. I don't know.
It's all manner of alarming.
I don't know what the rest of Clemson is like, because my only feedback on that is Uncle Skip, who also, like me, doesn't really appear to be a Clemson fan until he tells you he is. So
yeah, y'all are two people. You're too peepular to be.
Yeah, it's not great, but like hiring Luke to coach the O-line, I think is enough to, and just like. The idea that he's making staff changes, there's probably going to be more staff changes to come after the bowl game, potentially. I wouldn't be surprised, especially if they lose. So it's all about the response, because a lot of people, as much as people were calmed down by Clemson winning these last four games, they were also calmed down by, like, making some moves on the staff get better and making some good hires.
Recognizing that things needed to be different.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And now we're in a trend of Dabo making hires that aren't necessarily like his guys that were coached by him, recruited by him. Like the kind of gross cyclical nature of what
it's gonna make it weirdly awkward at work, isn't it?
Yeah, right. I don't know. So,
I'm kind of kidding, but not really.
But we all know like what Clemson fans are like. It's gonna be a loud, vocal, really annoying portion of them that are gonna say that Dabo does, like, best thing that could happen to Clemson is Nick Saban retiring and Dabo getting the Alabama job, like those people who think he's gonna get that job anyway.
Right. Right.
Which we're all we've been through.
When of course Mark Stoops is getting the Alabama job as we
yep,
know.
That's it.
Yep.
Yeah, Mark Stoops is getting a job. That's right. Kentucky, baby. Every year.
Every year, Mark Stoops gets a Kentucky job.
Every year, he's re-dead. Yeah, that's right. That's the gift he gets waking up every morning, baby. What do you get? I'm going to get to 8-5. I'm going to eat at the biggest steakhouse in Lexington every night. Right? Everyone's going to be like, hey, coach, you're doing a great job.
Do you see, I don't know where this came from, but there was some report that it was like 12% of American beef is consumed by like this very narrow strata of white men between like 50 and 60.
Yeah, it was like the concentration of wealth math, but Jim a little Harbaugh more alarming.
Yeah.
Is 60 years old. It checks out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. He gets to go. We'll get to that. He of course gets to go to the Beef Bowl at the as an associated Rose Bowl event. But we'll
if he's allowed, if he's not suspended again,
if he's not suspended, justice for Jim. Should we move on to the Sun Bowl?
Hell yes, it's time for the Sun Bowl, the weirdest bowl of all.
And yes,
I do not say that lightly. I want to emphasize I have put a shitload of thought into this. The Sun Bowl is the weirdest bowl.
Please go on.
Based on the history, I mean, think of all the weird weather we've encountered.
Sure.
Snow games, wind games, where like flags are bending over backward because of how hard it's blowing. The famous time Georgia Tech beat USC team at the start of the year number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the ancient games where teams are like finishing up with negative passing yardage on the day and shit. Like, yeah, the Sun Bowl has as much fucked up lore as I will say almost any other two bowls combined.
If I can just back that up. Two of the most unwatchable games I have ever seen were both Sun Bowls. The odds of that happening are so minuscule in terms of the total number of games played. And yet El Paso in late December manages to bring the thunder every single time.
Sometimes literally
in the form of thunder snow. This is the only game I've ever seen where people had folding tables and chairs out to push snow off the field. Because it, yeah.
Is that this was the one where they got the helicopter?
This is, no, that was the New Mexico Bowl.
Oh,
this
okay.
is the one where, this is when Notre Dame was in the Sun Bowl, and they were clearing the field with cafeteria tables, like just using the sideways plows. But then the camera pans, and there's just one Notre Dame staffer in the corner who's using a rake. And I recognize that they were doing whatever they could with whatever they could and with whatever they had on hand, but it was just a beautiful moment.
Yeah, absolute. Yeah, remember, this is the only place that has had multiple, not just freak snowstorms, but the Fog Bowl, because in 74 there was a freak snowstorm that then immediately evaporated. The rising steam from the field was nicknamed the Fog Bowl, which basically you're just playing on one big hot cooling pastry at that point.
No, well, that's a different delicious. Bowl game.
Different, yeah, totally different bowl game.
Also, this game is so old that like it should have prestige to it.
Yes.
1935, the first game was two local high school teams.
This is the great uncle of them all. Yeah.
Yeah, like based on, so the Rose Bowl is the biggest and the oldest. The Sugar Bowl is one of the very biggest, and it's one of the oldest and the second biggest. By that logic, the Sun Bowl should be, you know, one of the, let's say one of the five biggest. And the Sun Bowl should be in the New Year's Six. And it should be every bit as garbage as it is. And CBS should get it for some reason no one understands. Mm.
This
Families
is also. Oh no, I'm thinking of the Copper Bowl. That's the one where the zipline camera fell on the field. That was an Insight Bowl, if I remember correctly.
Yes, it was. Somebody got tangled up in it. Yeah.
Yeah. We also get, this is a rematch of a really delightful bowl from past year, from years past, years long past this point. Oregon State, Notre Dame, like
Oregon State, not only one of Notre Dame's best bowl opponents ever because of how bad they whipped their ass, also a Sun Bowl legend because of 3-0 against Pitt.
Mm-hmm. They're capable of all things.
Yeah, this is the matchup of the 2001 Fiesta Bowl, which featured my favorite celebration of all time, which was after, of course, Notre Dame playing another team, the Notre Dame media elites. The elites accused Oregon State of
after Ryan Nanny. After teenage Ryan Nanny doubted Oregon State.
What? This let's see. The Sun Bowl date. The Sun Bowl is going to be on the 29th, Friday. The 29th.
You were looking up the date for this Sun Bowl?
Yes.
Yeah. I was checking the weather.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
This
could be anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
Notre Dame accused.
That does give me hope.
Oregon State of having criminal tendencies, let's put it that way.
Sure.
And Chad
is this
Johnson.
Notre Dame's go-to?
Yeah, this is the go-to.
If you beat us, your crime.
That's right.
a strategy that's worked out great for them.
Might be a pattern that transcends football, right? I want to look into that. Got our ass whooped. That must be illegal. Those guys are better at something. Whoa, that can't be. That's got to be a crime.
Our football team lost because of replacement theory.
Mm-hmm. That's
that's one way to talk about the portal, I guess.
Yeah. But
oh, wow.
Yeah, but Chad Johnson scored and put his hands up and was frisked by TJ Houshmandzadeh in the end zone in one of the best touchdown celebrations I have ever seen as Oregon State beat the shit out of Notre Dame.
Just celebrating airport safety.
That's right.
It might be a top 10 moment from college football history that I wish we had posts from. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure there's newspaper columns and shit. No. I want posts is what I want from that moment.
Yeah, this is also,
get out of there.
The lone CBS bowl game. In terms of weird legacy media arrangements.
How long is the rights deal for that? Like, do they hang on to this one?
I think it goes to like the 23rd century.
Wait. Do they still have Vern for it?
They have to
roll them out.
Yeah.
They should. Vern's got to go move weight down to El Paso. That's a little known fact.
I want Vern to be there if Vern wants to be there.
Yeah. Vern has become a smuggler in his old age. Not for the money, but because he loves the thrill of the chase.
Hey, Vern.
Hey, Vern. Good for him. Sun Bowl Vern. Good for him. Yeah.
This is the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl still for however many years in a row.
Not the Frosted Flakes Sun
Bowl. No, not the cereal.
Don't call
it. The animal.
He is an animal. Listen. Tony the Tiger has work-life balance. By calling it the Frosted Flakes Sun Bowl, you suggest that he doesn't. He has separate interests, and they're all deeply sexual.
He has spoken to the prophets.
Speaking of deeply sexual, I have sad news. Sam Hartman is skipping Sun Bowl prep to prepare for the NFL draft.
In your world, does that make this Sun Bowl more or less sexual?
Yearning is, you know, the yearning for the handsomest quarterback.
More. Sure.
Yeah,
more intense desire, but less fulfillment.
That pushes the sun, that in the presence of Tony the Tiger, push this into erotic territory.
Yeah,
I mean, making it even more longing and yearning. Notre Dame's best lineman is out as well.
Yeah,
we're missing so much beauty in this game.
Yeah, this could be like back to back surprise ass weapons from Oregon State. Somebody
best and Oregon State's declared, I think, mad as well. Yeah, Oregon State is mad, but they're also. They're very portally as well.
Yeah, little portaled up. We have a definite summer league situation here.
New head coach. Everything.
New head coach. Departure. DJ Uiagalelei at quarterback. Yeah. There's a lot going on here.
Winter league.
Yes, but you know what? This is the only place I know of where two head coaches can go get so drunk they fall off their bar stools and no one will notice. In the hotel.
El Paso.
Which is really saying something considering the next bowl on the list.
The Liberty Bowl! That's right, Peyton. You're going to the Liberty Bowl! Iowa State v. Memphis. This is another why go anywhere? Our stuff's already here game. Congratulations, Memphis. You're going to Memphis.
I like that ESPN schedule like has to designate one team home and away. And I'm like, I know there will be some way in which that's reflected in the game as well in a minor capacity. But Memphis being at Iowa State for the Liberty Bowl in Memphis, Tennessee is really delightful.
I wonder if they like really cosplay it up. Like, oh, nice place you got here, you know. Where do you guys go for food after the game?
Matt Campbell's like, we're defending our territory. This is your house.
Nobody walks into your house and wins.
This is I'm trying to look at the halftime act that is yes, the Barquets. The Barquets.
Oh, okay.
The actual Barquets?
Is some arrangement of some the Barquets. Yes.
A collection of Barquets.
Yes. It's either some percentage of bar or K. They will be playing the halftime show of the 2023 Liberty Bowl.
Stop calling it that.
Has there always been a rodeo before the Liberty Bowl?
Is that an elaborate term for a parking lot fight?
No.
Liberty Bowl rodeo results.
I'm looking at the events and... the night that we are recording this, the 2023 AutoZone Liberty Bowl Professional Rodeo will take place.
This is so like this is distinguished from the, like, it's a rodeo.
Mm-hmm.
But this is distinguished from the Texas Bowl Rodeo in that the players do not participate.
Oh, okay.
So I have, like, just
found... I don't know if it has been there for the entire history of the Liberty Bowl, but they have done this before.
Okay.
Online appear the words 34th annual AutoZone Liberty Bowl Rodeo.
There we go.
Okay.
Take that for
or but does the 34th okay. modify Liberty Bowl or Rodeo?
That's the part I'm not so clear on.
Yeah. Well, let's put it this way. Players are not supposed to participate in this, but if you look down and your starting quarterback is mm-hmm. in the chute. Hey, coach!
Cheer him on.
No! Hope he makes it 8 seconds.
Yep, that's the Liberty Bowl. followed by, we have a New Year's Six Bowl. Ohio State. Quite portaled themselves.
Yes. Did we cover? By the way, the social media uproar over the improper designation of Dallas's climate by the official Ohio State account.
I missed this. What happened here?
Oh, Ryan, I'm so glad we get to look at your face while we say this. Ohio State's Twitter account announced as they landed in Dallas, ready for the showdown in the desert.
With a little cowboy hat emoji.
Yeah,
it's been deleted.
Boo!
The best part was it had been edited because at first they wrote dessert.
They should have put it back to that.
Yeah, just pretend you were actually talking about the boys are going out for ice cream or whatever.
Wait a second.
SpongeBob, I demand to be taken seriously. Here to football.
Oh, man.
Joining them in the desert will be the Missouri Tigers, who hail from the deserts of Missouri.
So these are cultural deserts coming together in a third cultural desert.
Yeah. The rainforests of Columbia, Missouri.
And the archipelago of Columbus.
Oh, man. I think the players are going to swap VHS porn on the sidelines like it's friendship camps.
They will. Like
we're not so different, you and I, looking at Naughty Dentist 17.
Like they're exchanging old Ring of Honor tape.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's a really good match.
It's a challenge coin, but yeah. It's just got a butt on it.
Yeah.
I got this from my dad. I want you to have it.
So they're exchanging wrestling porn is what we've created here.
Ooh, is that a Vivid 02? Oh, my God.
You
got to
see what Daniel Bryan does in this one.
Yeah. This is so Ohio State's a little portally. Sure. Kyle McCord's gone at starter.
Seem okay with that. I gotta be honest.
I think everyone's fine with that. I don't think Kyle McCord did not leave with pangs of regret.
He's happy to be the fuck out of there.
Kyle McCord committed to Syracuse, right? Or he portaled to Syracuse, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So it's not like he's going to a better place.
He's going to a place that'll, like, scream in his face less and
That. And you know who's... You know who's
Sweet Dome away from all that cold weather.
Yeah. Why don't you come up with us, you little sunflowers?
Why don't you come up to fucking Syracuse? You think you're so tough.
God, he really wanted out of there.
Just come up and survive the heat of the carrier dome.
You come up the humidity of our unair-conditioned dome.
For the first however many years they were sponsored by Carrier, they did not have climate control in the dome.
And then in September, it's actually pretty nasty in there. Yeah. This is a team that is very portally, a little summer leaguey. The other team in this bowl game is not Mizzou. You know who's like locked in? Mizzou. Do you know what this game feels like? This game feels like one that means absolutely jack shit to Ohio State and everything to Mizzou. Like, woo, we're in the cotton bowl. The other team's like, we don't even get the climate right. We're just here. I don't know. Show up.
We literally don't care where we are. Didn't glance at a maps.
Here in the rainforest.
Here in the fucking wherever we are. And you combine all that. Like, Mizzou cares a lot. Ohio State doesn't even know where they are. And Ohio State's favored by one.
Marvin Harrison Jr. hasn't specifically said he's opting out of this game, right? But everyone kind of assumes he will.
As of this time.
Last I saw, he wasn't participating in practice.
Yeah, it seems
today.
Like it's still up in the air.
Okay, all right.
Someone write a check. Come on, this is an appearance fee.
Looks like how he practiced
much,
today.
How much money do you have to write to Marvin Harrison Jr. to be like, play in this Cotton Bowl instead of just not getting hurt?
A Minnesota quarterback is worth what?
$30,000 30 we decided.
Grand. Okay, allegedly. $30 million for Marvin
Although
Harrison.
Although we think
then.
It's, we see in our headcanon it's 45.
Yeah. Yeah. $30 million.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, that seems fair.
Yeah, it would have to be an outrageous sum of money.
Shut down full cast offers, Marvin Harrison Jr.
Come stop by the
Ohio State podcast offers Marvin Harrison Jr.
By the way, the name of the pregame festivities that you can purchase a ticket for is the Tall Cotton Tailgate.
Dallas, we can't take you absolutely.
Ah, yeah. Again, Dallas, famously friendly to all visitors.
As long as you, as long as you can handle, you know, the way we do things out here in the desert,
in the desert, cowboy.
I have been in Dallas in portions of January. You know, weaving through y'all. If you've never been to Dallas, it's like upsized Nashville, flatter,
mega Nashville.
No, yeah. It's just like it's like Nashville's like supersized meal.
Yeah,
and by which I mean it's just an office park and. Man, driving around in January when the rain is like spitting tiny little, like police spike strips of ice at you, it can seem kind of deserty. In that, I feel like nothing can grow there and life can't thrive.
Spiritually, it's a desert.
Not true.
Yeah, it's. But hey, they have good tacos in the gas stations. I will say that
the Cotton Bowl store is doing something I think very dangerous.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. If you go to cottonbowlstore.com.
Sure am.
You will see it says Cotton Bowl Classic official merchandise. And then you will see right below that it has a note.
Wow.
Orders not guaranteed to arrive before the game. You're thinking, that's fine.
Somebody didn't want to write a FAQ.
That's useful information. But the game has been stylized capital T, capital G. And I think when you have Ohio State playing, I'm not sure that you want to decide that, yes, this is the game.
Michigan, you've been replaced.
It turns out Missouri is our true hated opponent.
Anyone?
That team over there.
Also,
anyone whose name begins with MI is the game.
That's right.
This is a game that is not owned by ESPN and therefore has the chance to do something weird with his merch. But no, you can get a koozie. You can get a backpack. You can get a Cotton Bowl full size football. Man, what trash!
It's all very uninspiring. There's a bucket hat you can buy for $35.
I'm fully preparing my move counter move of this. If Mizzou wins, I'm going to be like just indicative of how strong the SEC is. And if Ohio State wins, I'm going to be like fucking Mizzou. Never wanted them.
Sure.
Don't belong here. Get them the fuck out.
Like. I know you're joking, but I also think that's what you'll do.
So. Not joking. No. I'm just letting you see the playbook, Ryan. Never told a joke. This is 100% what I'm doing.
All right. Here's another opportunity for you to either curse or
praise. You're going to kick out Ole Miss.
Yeah. Let's do it.
The Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. When this game was announced, Dr. Bo Wallace basically tweeted out the oh God gif reaction because the last time a like almost playoff adjacent Ole Miss made the Peach Bowl, they
How'd
got
go
absolutely
for
destroyed by TCU. And this year they get to play number 10 Penn State, who, man, I don't, given how transfer portal season has gone for Ole Miss and how much Ole Miss is very clearly like, yep, we're putting a lot of chips in on 2024. Penn State needs to win this game so badly. Like if James Franklin loses this game, my God, it's just going to be, it's going to be
an unpleasant combination of people descending on our city.
Yeah, it's going to be a real bad offseason if Penn State can't perform well in this game.
The 247 headline for this is Ole Miss lands in Atlanta, and I'm like, like the Hun, right? Like,
they're here.
So what if you have
comes to Sherman?
What if you have the scenario
front, Oxford, Mississippi?
Yeah.
What if Michigan wins the national title, Ohio mm-hmm. State wins the Cotton Bowl, and Penn State loses to Ole Miss?
Yep.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, yep. Yes. I see your vision. I see it. I see it. I'm manifesting.
Yeah. This is a man. This is a summoning circle.
Oh God,
I'm
that was beautiful. I'm putting black salt around myself right now, filing all my teeth to points.
It's going to be so frustrating because if Penn State wins,
Lane's lightheaded at the thought of this happening.
If Penn State wins, Lane's going to do his dopey old like, "Well, we just fall around. We don't really care. We just, you know what? We're just here for the chicken. Like, whatever. It's not that important."
Boring Muppet.
Yeah, and if they listen, if they win, he might do that. He might be like, "Well, you know,
oh, you know what? It was it's cool that like we got to play Pitt or whatever." But
I loved Reggie White.
Yeah, I think I think John Franklin does a real good job here.
He'll call him Ben Franklin.
I love the reason he doesn't know which team it is because they don't have logos on their helmets.
Yeah. It's confusing, though. You have to admit.
Well, it was really exciting to come here and beat
never
a creative
got to play
team that wasn't quite finished
before.
Really, like 18-4. 18-4, I thought were real strong for.
Yeah,
cool
you
dudes.
Know. Yeah, I mean, running on first down every single play the entire game was probably not a winning strategy for them. If I'm
I recruited Trace McSorley as a parking attendant, so you know a lot of connection.
Speaking of parking attendants, I actually slept in a valet stand, so I was really surprised that I was able to outmaneuver old Ben Franklin at the end there.
Yeah, you know, like if this comes up hard turd game for Penn State, right?
Lane 45 minutes out of Magic City, like with wing sauce still coating his fingers, whipping the shit out of James Franklin in a close in-game clock management situation.
Well, and the shit of it is that as of late, these two teams are the exact same vibes-wise, where it's all like,
that's the meanest thing that we've said so far.
This is the year that this team finally shows what that the plan has been laid all along, and they can, they've gotten absolutely destroyed by Alabama or Ohio State or whoever it is.
Hey, man, I've only got two tough classes this semester. You failed them both.
And the difference is
ballroom dancing involved a lot of reading.
The difference is it makes Penn State fans so mad, and Ole Miss fans are like, whatever, this is cool. Let's come back for another year of college. This fucking rules.
Ole Miss fans are used to this after.
Oh, Ole Miss fans are like, I think Ole Miss fans are aware, like, it could be way worse than this shit. We don't care that we lose two or three games a year. That's awesome.
They have a couple more kinds of gin in Atlanta liquor stores than you can find in the state of Mississippi, and that's all they need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I quote top tier Ole Miss fan Bunky Perkins on my way to Atlanta to see the worst 10 win team in the nation. Fuck yes, Ole Miss fans. Fuck yes.
All that matters is 10 wins. Yeah.
That's right.
They're showing up. They're showing up pre-lost. They're like, nope, it's already gone.
According to the power ratings, worst 10 wins team is Iowa. These numbers are fucked up. That's wrong. That's wrong.
That's
you
wrong.
Seen,
can't
you ever seen
be
Iowa
right.
play
right.
defense? Numbers can't understand that shit. How we win here at Iowa.
Nope. Speaking of teams with records not really indicating the deep horrors contained within them. The Music City Bowl in Nashville, Tennessee.
I honestly don't know which one of these teams you're talking about.
Auburn versus Maryland.
So Ryan, when you go to this game, who are you keeping an eye on?
Nothing has ever been less tempting than going to the Music City Bowl.
Challenge
to see Auburn
accepted.
Oh, this isn't a fetching matchup between.
I cannot imagine going to my wife and being like, hey, I need to leave the house in the middle of the day for like 4 hours. Why? To watch Auburn play Maryland in football. Are you
honestly
cool with that? You're not. Okay.
If she shot you in the toe with a very small caliber firearm, that would be totally defensible.
That would right at him. It's like, would you like to talk about this again?
Yeah.
And then you can both write country songs about it.
And then she just cocks the gun again.
Yeah, it's the little derringer, right? Like a teeny little pow.
Let's start this conversation over. You want to do what?
Yeah.
No, I won't be attending the Music City.
Maryland's 7-5. Hit her with that.
Yeah. You don't understand. I might not get to see a 7-5 Maryland team for another 2 years.
Until they're back in this bowl game.
Yeah, that's 800 days. You can do
that. Life's short. We said we were going to seize every moment.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like something you'd say.
Tell me to live like I was dying. What feels more like dying than Marilyn and Auburn in a Music City Bowl? Oh. The 6-6 Auburn team. They're on the brink.
I'm going to dance like nobody's watching because you shouldn't watch.
Because there ain't going to be anybody in the stadium watching.
You're going to love like I've never been hurt because I've never been loved.
You got to understand, I'm not going to have that many more chances to go to a Music City Bowl in the old Nissan Stadium. This God. Is history, baby.
Okay, I take it back. Godfrey's going to go. This is history.
Yeah, it's before they build the new stadium, which is definitely going to look like the stadium art. It's going to look exactly like that.
They always do.
It's going to be like Alamo Dome 2.
Yeah,
that sounds pretty dope. Can they call it?
No,
that?
Have you seen it?
Yes.
It looks like a Hyatt.
Yeah, yes. It looks like a Whole Foods.
Yeah,
it looks like a Whole Foods, and that it's going to be overpriced, and there won't be enough people in it. That's generally what you're going to get. The Music City Bowl is the only bowl game I've seen that just comes right out and is like, "Yeah, we deserve to exist," which means they probably don't. Economic impact is right here. It's like $400 million. We've pumped $400 million into the Nashville community.
You can just say anything, like especially when it comes to the Nashville. You know what? Me moving to Nashville, $80 million. That's
Ryan Nanny single-handedly bringing $800 million.
And that's why I don't know what your poor people lawnmower costs. Because
that's right. I'm too busy creating the jobs.
This is the flip side of when Ryan brings his classism into your town, he also brings class itself.
Class, that's right. That's right.
They also list the community as 1,162,197 people who have attended this Music City Bowl. I'm telling you, those numbers are unimpeachable. I'm sure that is the exact number of people who have attended every single Music City Bowl. By the way, they didn't capitalize Music City Bowl because nobody copyrighted this because they were too busy funneling money into the community.
If you would like to own a deeply confusing piece of merchandise, you can go to musiccitybowlmerchandise.com, which also stylizes it as the game, capital letters, which is even funnier when it's just Auburn and Maryland. You can buy
Maybe it's to be a comfort. There's only one of these, and after it's over, it can't hurt you.
You can buy
a
Maryland red t-shirt that says Transperfect Music City Bowl in, like, you know, hat show printy type font, and has a cowboy boot on it with the Maryland M, and it says Go Terps 2023. We should definitely get this for our good friend Alex Kirshner so he can show off his bona fides on the West Coast.
Yes, by the way, you can really enjoy this game, I'm sure, because Maryland will not have Talia Tagovailoa, who is exploring his options via the portal, and you will experience the entire Auburn offense coming back. So really, it's a warning in two directions, is what I'm giving you. This game is 15-13. I'm just going to call it. Feels like a 15-13. The 15-13 magic.
The 17-6.
The amount of, like, self-congratulatory bullshit that comes out of whoever wins this, like,
immense.
Is just going to be fucking unbearable.
We couldn't beat New Mexico State, but we could beat Maryland.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of unbearable, the Orange Bowl with Florida State and Georgia. The Grievances Bowl.
Not anymore. Like,
we're over it.
All the grievances have fucking declared or transferred or in the portal at this point.
Yeah, there was a brief window where it was like FSU, go do seize destiny. Now it's like, I don't
know. We'd rather sue the ACC. We think that's more fun.
Honestly, that's going to be a more emotionally rewarding to us in the long term.
We love making up big numbers and pointing at them. We love dragging people into the office on a Friday afternoon before the Christmas three-day weekend and pointing out a number that says $500 million and say, who are the assholes that signed us up for this?
You've left us no choice. You tricked us into signing a Rumpelstiltskin contract. And now we must take you to Tallahassee Court.
Just this entire Zoom call
full of... What restaurant does Tallahassee Court take place in?
Sparrow.
Public mail.
Publix deli.
Yeah.
You got to get it done fast.
It says free cookie for kids, and you're not allowed to ask for ID.
The theme song of Florida Court. Yeah.
Just listen.
All rise.
All rise for Justice Banana Pants.
Your Honor, I signed this document, but I don't like that I signed it. So
I didn't mean it.
I rest my case.
You agree that it was stupid to sign it, so why should I be held liable for that?
Your Honor, you remember those CD clubs in the 1990s that children could join and then they could break the contract because they were children? Well,
Florida,
I rest my case.
Noble history.
One of the clowns from our clown college signed it. That's hardly a legal representative.
Clown law expert Ryan Manny will join us to explain why the Knowles should get to join a conference that hasn't invited them. Like, who wants this shit show? Who wants to invite this school so bad?
What are his clown certifications? He's also a gator.
Jason, the answer is the Big 12. There is no mess that the Big 12 would be like... You've had how many divorces? That's fine.
So FSU is going to try to genius its way out of its $500 million deal to join UCF's conference.
Well, when you put it like that, it sounds like a bad idea.
Just Banana Pants has called for a 15-minute vape break.
That's all? 15? Oh, we're in a hurry today, I guess.
Why do we even fight the British?
It's a 15-minute vape break every 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I think the court is a break from the vaping. 15-minute break for law stuff.
Everybody,
you know what I just realized? You know what the great thing is? Every year, no matter how we do this show, every time we get to a point in the 40 games where we just go absolutely insane, it's always right here.
Yep. Correct.
It's always before we get to the orange bowl.
Correct. Therein lies madness.
Yeah. George is going to kill him. Let's just go
ahead.
I guess.
I don't know. Like,
I mean, anything can happen in bowl season, but this feels like the safest bet on the board.
Yeah. Yeah. Georgia mad. Georgia real mad. Georgia real mad, and
Georgia mad, and you know what? If Florida State's not going to claim a national title, Georgia should.
Fuck go it. Right ahead. I encourage everyone. Again, even though, you know, like this goes against my standard alignment, it doesn't in terms of political stance. Georgia, call it. Just go ahead.
What?
Claim it.
Hey, wait, we got into a lot of trouble for that reason.
No. Differently. Whoa, hey.
We're going to wait till all the points are counted, to be clear.
Yeah, but you go ahead and you award yourself a championship if you want to. No one's going to stop you.
Nope. What would Florida State say? If you beat Florida State, and
they'll be busy in court. They won't even know about this.
Like, hey, we tried this first.
That's right.
Hey, listen, I'm in chambers right now. Yes, it's a jet ski. Leave me alone.
I love that this implies Florida court is on Saturday afternoon. Perfect. Perfect. That's when it happens.
That's right.
Because I gotta be at fucking work on Friday.
Yeah.
Do it then.
I'm bringing a 12-pack. You can't stop me. Arizona Bowl. Toledo versus Wyoming. Called. Yeah. Toledo versus Wyoming.
The CW Bowl.
Yeah. Is this the only CW game?
Boo!
The most ACC game of all.
I think so. Every week schedule, there can only be one CW. So, like, even though bowl, you know, bowls a month, still only one
CW. CBS equal footing.
Yes, America's two most watched networks among 80-year-olds and 18-year-olds. I think.
Yes. ReliaQuest Bowl, LSU versus Wisconsin.
Always a cultural exchange to sort of point out, though they've played in the regular season recently. This time they're bringing their collective brands to Tampa. So,
mm-hmm.
America's three party styles colliding, I guess.
Florida, Louisiana, and Upper Midwest?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's, like, you're probably missing Las Vegas, but Las Vegas is people from other places, so... Yeah. I guess that's true.
Las Vegas is like the, not the generic one, but like the universal adapter.
Yeah, okay, sure.
It's just dry Tampa. Let's be serious.
The O negative of party styles. Yeah.
Yeah, so this is a combination of a series of different partying styles, which I would characterize as one is booze, right? Booze.
Uh-huh.
And pills.
Uh-huh.
And then
I love all these things.
Booze and weed.
Uh-huh.
It's the LSU side, right? Uh-huh. And then Tampa is all booze, pills, weed. It's the combination. It's the multidisciplinary project, right, of combining all of them at once, along with high-speed boats.
The ReliaQuest Bowl.
Okay.
Yeah, Jaden Daniels will not be playing. Just in
Garrett Nussmeier time, baby!
It is. It is. Finally. If you want it.
Finally.
Yeah, if you want, LSU fans, I'm going to get you hyped and ready for this game with one amazing headline. LSU Tigers quarterback Garrett Nussmeier ready to be starting quarterback.
There is one other good storyline here, and that is, would you rather be Wisconsin's offense failing to get it done against the LSU defense in this form, or LSU's defense failing to get it done against the Wisconsin offense in this form? Not good choices.
Somebody's going to have a bad flight home.
Also, LSU's offensive coordinator just was like, nah, I'd rather go back to Notre Dame.
Smart. It's time to catch up. Jaden's gone. I'm gone. Yes, that's smart. Mm-hmm.
Between that and the, like, obviously Brian Kelly agent sourced rumor that, you know, Brian Kelly would be quite interested in the Michigan job.
Same. If he were to come over. I would as well.
Like, what a super stable place Matt Rouge is at all times.
Brian Kelly is really interested in that fish skeleton you've got in the trash can as an alley cat with a fedora. He's very, very intrigued by it and would like to put it on a plate and perchance dip a fork into it as if he were eating at a fine dining restaurant.
Hey, hon, who sent us this anonymous letter that said Brian Kelly would be interested in marrying your wife if she were to become divorced?
Yeah. Brian God, Kelly.
It just says not Brian Kelly in the from area.
Babe, I'm sure you can do better than Brian Kelly. If you're going to leave me, please. Not him.
This says Brian Kelly will buy you a hamburger today. Yeah, this is... I love every ham-fisted Brian Kelly coaching rumor. They're all fantastic. Brian Kelly would like
personal personality navigation, Brian Kelly.
Yeah, absolute genius.
I will say this. If Brian Kelly somehow got the Michigan job and showed up at a basketball game to do his, like, intro warm-up.
With a new accent?
If he kept the foghorn leghorn, that I would respect.
Watching Michigan fans puke in their shoes at Brian Kelly showing up in person.
Well, oh. I'll have to get used to the snow here.
This is not... I still can't get over... There are sorrows that just never leave you. And you ever think about all the people in the LSU athletic department who have to go to work with Brian Kelly and Kim Mulkey in the same building?
Yeah.
Like, feeding your family depends on showing up to work with Brian Kelly and Kim Mulkey in the same building.
This is not a joke. That is not necessarily worse than previous iterations of the LSU athletic department.
Speaking of unpleasantness, Liberty is in the Fiesta Bowl in Oregon because they won a lot of games, which, as noted, the playoff committee highly values. The Super teams that win the most games get to rank the highest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is on at the same time as the Citrus Bowl, where Iowa is playing, as well as the Tennessee Volunteers. Two of our very favorite teams. Two of our very favorite teams, two teams that go about things very differently. This is a vastly superior game.
Watching the look on Kirk Ferentz's face when Josh Heupel has the wide receivers lined up all the way across the field, 6 inches from the
That's not even sidelines. Grass over there.
That's not part of the darn field. What are they doing over there?
What are they out? Are they sitting out?
How can they hear over there?
Yeah.
How are they going to block out there? I don't understand.
Yeah. Why don't you just keep walking to the tunnel? That's
hit them with a little flight of the bumblebees.
Yeah.
Oh, sell the swing pass they're setting up.
Yeah. Watch the sweep.
Yeah, that's a punt formation. I like it. I like it a lot.
Boy, those gunners are out wide.
Yeah, it's Iowa. It's Iowa in a Citrus Bowl, y'all. I have no idea what's going to happen in this game. Absolutely no clue. For the cheese, it's for all the Cheez-Its.
This is my favorite bowl game this year. This is it. This is the one.
Because it is the most spiritually confusing.
Yes, this is the most bowl game of the year. Yes. Iowa is here to do goddamn nothing. Tennessee's here to do a lot. And they'll meet in the middle somehow.
It's also like, it's I know their like injuries have a lot to do with this. It's very hard to look back at what Tennessee did this year and construct any kind of coherent narrative or through line. It just sort of feels like all sort of like, yep, one week this happened and then the next week this happened. And they're not necessarily related in any way.
Like yeah, the chapters are shuffled or something.
Yeah, it's not, you know, sometimes you just have years like that where for circumstances beyond your control, there is no sort of like consistent. It's not like last year was for Tennessee, where it's like, oh, the story is this, and this is how it went. But it's also, and Holly has talked about this before with us, it's also the result of, like, the Georgia game was way too late this year, and it just, like, made everything feel weird.
Everybody's body clocks are upset.
Yeah. Yes, it's very much that.
Yeah, the other thing that is fascinating about this, by the way, is this. That there is always a commercial promoting the school during the bowl game, usually featuring somebody looking at a microscope with a white jacket on, maybe a nice shot of somebody holding a backpack across one shoulder while walking.
The future is sexed here.
Yes, exactly.
What happens here sexed the world.
Oh, wait, that's the Liberty commercial.
I was going to get twice as much airtime to do whatever they like because Tennessee isn't allowed to buy airtime for ads that usually run during.
Because of Jeremy Pruitt?
That's correct. If you're craving the Tennessee builds rockets and science happens here and someone's playing a cello on top of the stadium. Yeah, that you're not going to get any of that because Jeremy Pruitt fucked up. So
Iowa's commercial this year starts with, you should Google top writing school and see which one comes up because it'll be Iowa. I've watched enough terrible football to have memorized Iowa school ads, mm-hmm. is what I'm trying to say.
I think Tennessee should be not only allowed but forced to air a commercial, but instead
for
of
for Iowa.
But instead it should just be like, here's like what you should know about Tennessee that is not great.
It's kind of too bad because we actually had a kick-ass one for a few years, the Rocky Top one.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. Also, in the ad they were airing during the regular season, they showed my department, which I've never seen in an ad before, and which I also found really funny because we could never get a fucking thing done on Saturdays because they took all of our parking spots on Saturdays and sold them to football fans.
The Tennessee commercials would be like, this is Derek. He's an incoming freshman.
This is true to the experience, so.
This is Derek. He's an incoming freshman. He doesn't shower, and he's very antisocial, and you could get randomly paired with him.
And you have a 1% chance of rooming with him.
You can't take him off the list. Derek has to room with somebody.
Hey, man, I got a 5-foot-nothing Baptist cheerleader as my freshman roommate, and I'm pretty sure I'm at least part of the reason she's now a weed farmer.
Hey!
So you can have an impact.
That should be the commercial right there.
Can you fix Derek? Are you a bad enough dude to fix Derek?
Hello, parents. Would you like for your child to do whippets within a week of arriving on campus? Come to the University of Florida. Well, they make a special little thing out of stuff that they got at the hardware store to crack said whippets. Absolutely, because it's an education in more ways than one.
Yeah, the MacGyver of drugs.
That's right. Co-caters. By the way, one note on the Fiesta Bowl. Fuck Liberty. I hope they lose by 40. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Just 40?
It's a nice start.
There are playoff games.
Suppose so.
We got two of them.
Two of them. And honestly, I think they're both great.
Wow.
Despite the playoff committee, what they did to...
Fucking hot take Jason here.
Our beloved Noles.
As usual.
So we have this thing that we almost got it last year. We get it this year where Bama and Michigan, we got the two grunt ball teams that would, you know, prefer to just slug it out and all that. And then the two pew-pew teams, Texas and Washington, are playing each other. So we're guaranteed a title game. With differing philosophies.
Yeah. That's true.
So that part's nice.
Yeah. Have we really thought about Michigan going to the Rose Bowl and like historically what that usually means?
Like previous rosters and previous coaching staffs have had a bad time there.
that's always been one of my favorite Michigan traditions. That makes no sense. Is they're like, oh yeah, we're gonna go to the Rose Bowl, guys. Why do you want that?
Wait, off the top of your head, when's the last time Michigan played in the Rose Bowl?
2007.
Yeah, there's a lot of Rose Bowls since then.
Ask him another question because I feel like that was lucky.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it was 2007, and they are 8-12 all time in these, which means they usually lose, including the last time they were there.
Right. When is the last time Michigan won the Rose Bowl?
Ooh, that I don't know.
I'm not a history major.
98 against Washington State when Wazoo unfairly had time run out.
Yes.
Which resulted in a split title. That's correct. Quote yes. finger split title.
Correct.
Oh, yeah. Well, what?
Yep.
That's right.
Remember, anyone can claim a national title, and we're proud of you when you do it.
Is it possible, let's say Michigan beats Bama, and I don't know, let's say Texas beats
Let's
Washington.
Say Michigan beats Bama. Let's do that.
Let's One just say pause it. You can say anything on the internet.
You can.
Yeah, I'm definitely aware of that after reading that athletic piece, that you can say anything on the internet.
I think the national title should be like a poker competition or a fantasy football league or something where the last two, if they want, they can just be like, nah, let's just split it. Let's just say split title.
Why that not? Is some, that is, that, I love I, it. I don't know. I don't even know if Midwestern nice extends that far.
It's deciding we like college football a lot, and we like when college football comes down to just an unresolved argument.
Yep.
We're bringing that shit back.
Yep.
But we like it, but do the people we watch like it in the same way?
What if we say it's a split title, but you still have to play the game? You'll have to argue over.
Oh, we're going
game.
Way old school.
Yes.
Ooh, yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah.
We're going.
We're awarding the national title after the semifinals.
Dude, I'm gonna go.
We're going 50 anyway. Style.
The city of Pasadena, the city of the future.
I am very confused how we managed to get Texas into a playoff, and none of the disrespect is pointed in their direction. All of the disrespect is pointed mostly on the other game entirely, but like
in both directions. Yeah.
Nobody's disrespecting Texas whatsoever.
A Pac-12 team is in the playoff and we're all like, yeah, they deserve to be there.
Yeah. They're
yes.
good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is because of the relative, like one, I think that there is a big, easy thing to point to when you go to Texas and go, hey, why are they good? You're like, they have an amazing defensive line.
Big man hit hard.
Big man hit hard. Big man smash things. Big man sometimes catch touchdown.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I think that's an easy thing for a football fan to lean on because you go, they're pretty smashy. Pretty smashy. Must respect. Also pretty good quarterback. So I got two things I can hang my hat on there. Additionally, there was the whole Alabama thing, which I think passed. Like, I think that made things a little bit easier to take them default seriously. Not just seriously, but just like, yeah, sure. Of course. Why not? Yeah. This is also a team that whatever happens in this game, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be wild because I'm pretty sure that if I was to make a matchup between these four teams that was ideal in terms of brains, brawn, the combination thereof, complementary weaknesses, and unis, this is it. Like, this is... we do this sometimes in the national, in the playoff, because there are only three teams, or only three games, and you can only get so many variations. This is the national title game, like in terms of like what I would want. Not in terms of like, oh, okay, the best team's going to come out of there.
Right.
No, but in terms of like best matchup, like
this is coolest. The game most likely to be like, oh, I saw some cool shit that I have not seen before.
This is going to be the greatest Alamo Bowl of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. This feels like an Alamo Bowl or a Holiday Bowl. And those traditionally are like the best bowl games because governor's off, some insane shit happens, coach's son runs onto the field to get a live
this
ball,
like
that kind of stuff.
Alamo. Oh. Yeah, you heard me, dog.
So what does that make Michigan Alabama then?
You know that slapping contest, like the slapping league, where it's just two people trying to slap each other stupid?
Yeah, sure.
And one of them eventually succeeding? That's what this is.
They're like good. Russian? The two Russian guys are slapping?
Yeah, UFC does one now, basically. Yeah, oh, Dana White.
Dana White got involved in this? You're kidding.
I know. Something that could potentially kill someone for money. Yeah. Absolutely. So yeah, that's what this is. That's what this entire game is. Yeah, like tell me it's just not two teams headbutting each other for like 2.5 hours.
Yeah, with a sunset.
With a gorgeous sunset. It's going to be like the most beautiful setting in all of college football. And two teams determined to see who can kick each other in the grundle until they cry. Beneath the San Gabriel Mountains, the sound of shins and toes impacting the grundle.
These right two toe meets grundle.
These two bulldozers hate each other, and now they will settle it on the gridiron once and for all.
Yeah. J.J. McCarthy looking very confused. Jalen Milroe looking like Jalen Milroe, which is also very confused, but excited. Very excited. Running pell mell.
I told you, it's the disrespect bowl. There you are. Just crapping all over him.
You hear that, yeah. Both of you?
Both of you. Providing free motivation for everyone. That's
please,
all I do.
Listen, please stop praying for my grandpa. He's getting too strong.
This is what upset me about that athletic piece where all the SEC head coaches went in and were like, I think Bama's going to beat Michigan. First of all, a whole bunch of SEC coaches think that the SEC is better than the Big Ten. Breaking. Second of all, I'm going to feel real dumb about this when the score comes around, but you've given Michigan actual disrespect. This is actual disrespect.
Sure.
This is actually a disrespectful thing you've done here. And now you've given them something real. Are you insane? I'm not saying they're going to become powerful. I'm saying they're going to become more annoying than they ever have before because they have actual disrespect to chew on.
Yeah.
They did it. You're welcome.
It's also like, Michigan is the more Alabama team of the two this year, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think Alabama is the more traditionally Michigan team.
Which one of these teams has run the ball 30 times? 30 times.
Hopefully both.
In a row.
It's in a game. Oh, right.
30 times in a row in a game this year. It's not Alabama.
No. So
it's Michigan, and what I thought was either their most inspired play calling or like the record was stuck and they just didn't know what to do. Like,
run. That was a good fucking song. So
yeah, it's a good set. Run it back.
Well, it's also just like Michigan has all the Alabama defensey things that we're used to seeing from Alabama, but Alabama has like the more interesting recent big win, which Michigan just doesn't because nobody cared about the Big Ten championship game. I don't know. It's just a weird role reversal at this point.
Yeah. Watch this be a 38-34 thriller and Washington, Texas come out to a 10-7 slugfest because we're very smart and we know things.
I don't make predictions. Two teams will win. That's what I got.
Ryan Nanny, too good for predictions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Typical elite.
Can't come down here.
On the fence. Wait to see how things go.
Oh, can you see all the way up there on your high horse?
Is this Irish?
I don't fucking know.
Okay.